Father, we pray that you would speak to us now through your Holy Spirit. Some difficult things to hear, but give us open hearts to hear them. Amen.
Amen.
Four friends were having a meal together. It was something they liked to do from time to time. They were made up of two couples who had been friends for many years. Karen and her husband Percy loved to meet up with Doreen and her husband Mick. And this Saturday lunchtime they were enjoying a nice pub lunch, when suddenly Karen said, "Oh, it's the Advent season. Do you think there'll be an Advent candle in church tomorrow?" Doreen replied, "Oh, I do hope so. I do love seeing the children light the Advent candle." Derek, you can assume you're a child for today. At heart, anyway. Mick, who was not such a regular churchgoer as the rest of them, asked the question, "What is Advent all about?" "It's something to do with Christmas and chocolate calendars, isn't it?" Percy said, "Not quite, Mick. Advent is when we look forward to the coming of Jesus, not just at Christmas, but also his coming again at the end of time." Mick let out a snort at this. "Yeah, right, that old one. It's a bit of a fairy tale, if you ask me. I can't believe in a second coming of Jesus. And even if he was coming back, surely he would have done so by now. I mean, where is he? Stuck on the M25, perhaps?" Karen, who had been brought up a Christian, ignored this and instead looked rather thoughtful. "I do wish Jesus would come back soon," she said. "If God really loved us, he would. This world is so painful. There are so many awful things going on in it. Surely if Jesus really loved us, he would do something to end all the pain. He would come back really soon and put everything right." Mick retorted, "But isn't Jesus supposed to come back in judgment? Isn't that what you Christians believe? That sounds pretty fierce and scary to me." To which Percy replied, "I'm sure it won't be such a big deal when Jesus returns. He does love to forgive, you know." "That's right," said Doreen. "Our spirits will all go to heaven and it will be, oh, just so lovely." Mick replied, "What? No golf? I can't play golf if I'm just a spirit floating about in heaven. Doesn't sound much fun to me." Well, I wonder what you think of the second coming. Can you identify with some of those comments made by our friends, Karen, Percy, Mick and Doreen? Are you frustrated, perhaps, that Jesus has not come back sooner to sort everything out? Or do you just think it's all, well, just a bit unbelievable, that it will never happen? That this world is all there is and all there will ever be until perhaps the sun explodes. But of course, the human race will be long gone by then. Do you believe that at death we just cease to be? Or do you believe that if there is an afterlife or a return of Jesus, it will not be such a big deal because everybody's spirits will drift off into heaven automatically? Well, our passage from 2 Peter chapter 3, which was on page 1224, is very informative on a number of these issues. We're going to see four things about the day of the Lord, that is, the return of Jesus Christ. So let's start off with the first one, which is, the day of the Lord is delayed. The day of the Lord is delayed. We have heard how Karen was quite frustrated by the delay. Let's face it, this world can be a place of great pain. We know that people struggle. There are wars. And if Jesus really is the Prince of Peace, well then why the delay? Why can't he get on with it and get back here and sort it all out? At the time Peter first wrote this letter, many people were sneering at this whole idea of a day of the Lord. And one thing they were scoffing at was the delay. Jesus had been gone for many years. Surely he's not really coming back, they said. And that same scoffing remains today. People take the mickey out of the whole idea. In Douglas Adams' novel, The Restaurant at the End of the Universe, he pokes fun at the idea. And now let me just fill you in on the scenario. Scientists, being the clever people that they are, have built a time bubble and projected it right to the end of time. And the creative entrepreneurs have built a five-star restaurant inside this time bubble called Milliways. So the idea is that you can time travel to the end of time and enjoy a slap-up meal as the universe explodes all around you for your entertainment. And then you return back to your own time and your own life. Well, let me quote what the host for the evening, Max Quadlepleen, has to say. "And finally," said Max, quietening the audience down and putting on his solemn face, "finally, I believe we have with us here tonight a party of believers, very devout believers, from the Church of the Second Coming of the great prophet Zarquan." There were about 20 of them, sitting right out on the edge of the floor, aesthetically dressed, sipping mineral water nervously and staying apart from the festivities. They blinked resentfully as the spotlight was turned on them. "There they are," said Max, "sitting there patiently. He said he would come again, and he's kept you waiting a long time, so let's hope he's hurrying, fellas, because he's only got 8 minutes left." The party of Zarquan's followers sat rigid, refusing to be buffeted by the waves of uncharitable laughter which swept over them. Max restrained his audience. "No, but seriously, folks, seriously though, no offence meant. No, I know we shouldn't make fun of deeply held beliefs, so I think a big hand, please, for the great prophet Zarquan." The audience clapped respectfully. "Wherever he's got to." Well, that joke works, of course, because people relate it to how Jesus promised he would return, and yet here we are 2,000 years later and no show. Conclusion, it ain't gonna happen. But I think that many good Christians also struggle when they see the delay, but for different reasons, as we heard with that lady Karen in the pub. When we see a world full of pain, we ask, well, why does Jesus not come back sooner to fix it? Well, the Bible is honest. The day of the Lord is delayed, but 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9 are quite clear. Yes, the day of the Lord is delayed, but there's good reasons for the delay. So let's have a look at them. Verse 8 and verse 9. Verse 8 reminds us that for God, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. 1,000 years, well, of course they seem a long time to us, but not to God, because he works on a different time scale. He is everlasting. And that's why verse 9 can say that the Lord is not really slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness, because it's all relative, really. It really is not a long time in the big scheme of things. So the Lord is not actually slow in keeping his promise. But it's not just that. In so many ways, it would be good if the day of the Lord took place right now, because evil and pain would be extinguished forever. But then what about all those people who have not accepted Jesus as Lord and Saviour? What would happen to them? The Bible does talk about the day of the Lord being Judgment Day, and that day we will all be found wanting, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All are guilty. The only way out on that day will be as if we have trusted in the death of Jesus Christ to pay for our sin, because we can never pay for our sin. So back to verse 9. A major reason why Jesus has not yet returned is because the Lord is patient with us. He is a God of love. He does not want anyone to perish, but everybody to come to repentance. So why the delay? Because for each day that Jesus does not come back, more people become Christians. More people escape judgment. More people will not perish on that day. And God wants no one to perish, but to turn to him while there is still time. That is why he delays, because he loves us. When I was reading a draft of this sermon to Lisa, she reminded me of something that happened at St. Helen's Church. And I can't remember it precisely, but she said there'd been some awful thing going on And so people in the congregation started to ask, well, why didn't Jesus come back 12 months ago so we didn't have to go through all this pain? And so the preacher said, hands up here if you became a Christian within the last 12 months. And quite a number of hands went up. And he said, there is the reason. This world can be a painful place. There can be lots of suffering. One day everything will be put right, but each day longer gives another chance for somebody else to become a Christian. Somebody else who will, because of the delay, be singing God's praises for all eternity, enjoying the goodness of God for all eternity. So really, perhaps the delay is not such a bad thing after all. The second thing we see is that the day of the Lord will come suddenly. The day of the Lord will come suddenly. One of the great dangers in there being a delay is that we become complacent. We feel, well, there's no rush. There's plenty of time still to strive for godliness. I'll start tomorrow. We think there's plenty of time. Is there really plenty of time? The return of Jesus can happen at any moment. A lot of the parables Jesus taught speak about this, don't they? We see Peter picking one of them up in verse 10. The day of the Lord will come like a thief. Of course, Jesus himself said that if the owner of a house knew at what time a thief would come, well, he would be ready for them. And I just picture a sitting room with the owner of the house hiding behind the sofa with three bobbies with their truncheons, waiting to catch the thief who breaks in. But that's the point, isn't it? A thief comes when you least expect it. So we need to be ever ready. Jesus will come when we least expect him. So the conclusion, we should be ready for the sudden return of Jesus. We need to be ever ready. He could come back at any moment. And this links in with my next point, which is also there in verse 10 and also in verse 12. The day of the Lord will lay bare everything. The day of the Lord will lay bare everything. The picture here in verse 10, it's one of this current creation being destroyed through fire and everything being laid bare. And I think one of the points is that there's going to be nowhere to hide on that day. Everything that we've ever said, thought or done will be laid bare. So going back to the pub lunch with our four friends, remember how Percy commented, I'm sure it won't be such a big deal when Jesus returns. He does love to forgive, you know. Yes, Jesus does love to forgive. That is why there is a delay, to give as many people as possible a chance while there is still time. But when Jesus returns, the time will have run out. It will be a big deal when Jesus returns. So the return of Jesus will come suddenly and will lay bare everything. It will come when we least expect it. It will bring destruction. We will find ourselves having to give an account for our behaviour to the living God. So we need to be ready, don't we? We need to be ever ready. Verse 11 tells us how. Verse 11, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. So if we're not Christians, we need to turn to Jesus in faith and ask for his forgiveness while there's time. We need to repent. That is, turn away from doing wrong. Turn away from ignoring God and start following Jesus. And if we are Christians, we need to continue following Jesus and his ways. Verse 11 talks about living holy and godly lives. So we need to keep in step with the Spirit. Living a life of faith. A life of listening to God and obeying his ways. A life of peace where we forgive others. A life of love and generosity, where we serve others and put their needs first, because Jesus could return at any moment. So let's not be caught napping or being caught up to no good. Don't let the delay deceive you into thinking you can get away with it. Everything will be laid bare on that day. Now, in all this talk of judgment and destruction, it's easy to miss the amazing good news that comes with the return of Jesus. And this brings us to my final point. The day of the Lord will bring a new heaven and a new earth. The day of the Lord will bring a new heaven and a new earth, there in verse 13. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So let me describe what the return of Jesus will not be like. Back at the restaurant at the end of the universe, there is a fury of destruction blazing around everybody as they continue to enjoy their meal. Creation is coming to an end. And then, the figure of an ancient man, bearded, robed, and wreathed in light, appears. Max blinked in amazement. He threw up his arms to the audience. "A big hand, please, ladies and gentlemen," he hollered, "for the great prophet Zarquan. He has come. Zarquan has come again." Thunderous applause broke out as Max strode across the stage and handed his microphone to the prophet. Zarquan coughed. He peered round at the assembled gathering. The stars in his eyes twinkled uneasily. He handled the microphone with confusion. He said, "Hello. Look, I'm sorry I'm a bit late. I've had the most ghastly time. All sorts of things cropping up at the last moment." He seemed nervous of the expectant awed hush. He cleared his throat. "How are we off for time? Have I just got a minute?" And so the universe ended. And so the universe ended. Is that what happens? Well, actually, it's not, is it? Not according to the Bible. Here in 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 13, we read that the universe does not actually end. Yes, there's all the fire and destruction, but it actually gets transformed. Through the fire and destruction, a new heaven and a new earth are created. Revelation 21 pictures it as a new Jerusalem coming down, bringing the fullness of God's kingdom to a renewed earth, where pain and death and mourning are no more. It's more a case of kind of heaven coming down to earth, isn't it? Rather than us going to heaven. Back in the pub, Doreen thought this about the day of the Lord. "Our spirits will all go to heaven and it will be oh so just lovely." Well, Doreen is mistaken. It will be lovely, but we're not going to be spirits floating off to heaven. It's going to be physical. As I say, heaven is going to come down to a new earth. We will be renewed physically and live in this new creation. And so this is good news for Mick, who enjoys a round of golf, assuming he turns to Christ while there's still time. I'm assuming there'll be something like golf in heaven. It will be physical. But the best thing of all will be round Jesus and praising him. You see, most importantly, verse 13. Can you see the new heaven and the new earth will be the home of righteousness? Evil is not going to exist there. Instead, God's goodness will be fully present in everything. It will be a place where we just love to praise God for his goodness. The new heaven and the new earth is the kingdom of God in all its fullness. And how should we respond to this? Look at verse 14. "So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him." You know, as Christians, we're already members of the new creation. We already belong to the kingdom of God, and we're called to start living kingdom lives here and now, lives which are spotless and blameless. That is why Jesus died to save us, so we can be reconciled with God and to start living kingdom lives. Beginning now, in this current creation, and then going on into eternity. Now maybe that sounds like a tall order, but we have the Holy Spirit, God, to help us in doing it. So friends, just because Jesus is a long time coming back, let's not fall into unbelief or complacency. He will return. And this creation will be replaced and transformed into something even more wonderful. A new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. Jesus calls us to respond now. That's why he delays his return. He calls us to put our faith in him, to repent, and to lead holy and godly lives. And you know, he also calls us to work our socks off at inviting others to join us in the kingdom of righteousness. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we're looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. Let's pray together. Father, open our hearts to the Lord Jesus. We were reminded again at the 9:30 service of how Jesus stands at the door and knocks, and we need to open our hearts totally to him. Help us to do that, and then to live by your Spirit holy and godly lives, so that we will be ready on that day, the day of the Lord. And we pray for our friends and neighbours. Encourage us to share the good news with them, so they can join us in praising your name on that day. Amen.